2 Timothy chapter 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Our forefathers were far from perfect. I would be very careful, though, before I threw everything out the window just because I realized they weren't perfect. If it was committed to us by faithful men, and it was, we need to hold on to that. We don't worship tradition. We worship according to the Bible. You all know we live in a day where people are picking and choosing what they want to believe. And I would encourage you to be very careful. If it was committed to you by faithful men, then you need to be careful to pass that on to the next generation. Amen. Verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. That's the key word today, of Jesus Christ. My text tonight is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. This is my text. Other than a verse for introduction, my entire message will come from verse number 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's read it again. Please notice every word. This verse is loaded. No man that warreth, you're in a war, you're in a battle, you know that, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. My title this evening is Tending, T-E-N-D-I-N-G, as in tending to a garden, tending to a child, tending to an elderly parent. That is really an abbreviation of attending to someone. We've shortened that and we call it tending. My title tonight is Tending or Tangled. Are you tending or are you tangled? It'll make sense in just a minute. Hold your finger there. Turn back to the right, toward the end of your Bible, to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Do you see the parallel between running a race or fighting in a battle? The training, the endurance that would be needed for a long distance race, the endurance, the training that would be needed for a military endeavor. I want you to notice in the middle of the verse those two words, weight and sin. I believe as Bible believers, under the blessing, as many have testified about tonight, of truth and truth bearers, godly people who have held a standard and poured their lives into us and shared the gospel with us, I think most of us are more or less well trained about sins. I don't know if we are as careful about the weights in our life. And so I want us to go back now to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. And I want you to look at that phrase, no man who wars. If you're going to war in his warfare, you cannot be entangled. And then here's the phrase I want your attention on, affairs of this life. Now, lest you're wondering where I'm going with that, I'm just going to cover the words in the order they are in the verse. I started to go to affairs of this life first, and I said, no, Lord, I'll cover the verse in the order that you gave it to us. Affairs of this life are not bad things. Okay, I studied it intently. I dug and researched and looked into that word. Affairs of this life are not bad things. The bad thing in that verse is that one word, entangled. And I'm not going to keep you long, okay? But I want us to get a hold of that. Are we entangled? I'm going to use something right now that I was going to use as a conclusion. My folks are here this evening. Do I refer to them often when they're here? Absolutely. If somebody had as much impact on your life as they did mine, you'd refer to them as well. I'm blessed. Thank you, Miss Danielle. Stuff we take for granted, it's a daily occurrence for us. Other people in the rest of the world would love to experience it once. He had been pastoring somewhere between 25 and 30 years. It had to be late 90s, could have been the early 2000s. I believe it was late 90s. Somewhere between 25 and 30 years of pastoring, and in the pulpit, he said to the church, a church body that respected him greatly, he said, "I owe an apology to this church." You could have heard a pin drop. He said, "I have become entangled in the affairs of this life." I don't know if you remember that night or not. You do. We were as still and as enrapt attention as you are to me right now. And you're thinking, what on earth had he done? Was he gambling on online gambling? So what entangled the pastor? No, you know what he had done? He had bought some land to develop it, to have something to lay up. He didn't have much of a retirement at the time. Wanted to lay up something for his wife. He'd had a preacher friend who, when he died, his wife had hardly anything to live on. He said, "I'm not going to do that to my wife." He found a great deal on a piece of property in northern Greenville County. Y'all know what northern Greenville County looks like. It's got the views north and south, and it's just beautiful. And he tried to develop that. Greenville County was trying to act like Los Angeles County, California, with codes and regulations that make a preacher cuss. So what? I mean, it was just one hassle after another. And what he intended to get it, have it resurveyed into lots, he's going to do that, sell them off. He figured he's going to make some good money in about 60 to 90 days. How many of you thought you were going to make good money in 60 to 90 days? It didn't turn out that way. And after 6 months, 9 months, or a year, he stood in front of that church in Brother Youngblood, and he said, "I owe you an apology. I've become entangled in the affairs of this life." He said, "I didn't get into it overnight. I'm not going to get out overnight. And if you'll be patient with me, I promise you I'm going to cut myself free from this so I can be the man God has called me to be. I need a witness." Say, "Brother Raines, are you trying to embarrass him?" Not at all. I'm just saying he was not too proud to stand up and say to that church, "This has happened to me." He had been walking with Jesus for a very long time, pastoring for a very long time, counseling for a very long time, and said to a congregation, "I have become entangled." If my dad, who I have much great respect for, could become entangled at that point in his life and in his ministry, do you think all of us need to be aware of the fact that we could become entangled? Absolutely. I'm going to say it again, not with bad things. Not with bad things. Good things. The devil doesn't care what he distracts you with. He doesn't care what he distracts you with. If you're wasting hours a day online, you don't have to be looking at bad stuff. If you're buying and selling good stuff and that's not your source of income, it's just an addiction. Oh, that was very weak, church. Come on, you white people, that was very weak. If you're just addicted to just something like that and then you are entangled in the affairs of this life, the devil, he's got you right where he wants you. It don't have to be filth. You can be buying and selling. I've known preachers at camp meeting, they were entangled in the affairs of this life, buying and selling Bibles. You're going, "It's God's Word." They made merchandise out of it. And don't get me started on pocket knives. Oh, Baptist preachers, that's their deal right there. You show them one, they just start salivating. Everything else is wrong. That's all you can have. There's nothing wrong with it. So, I mean, that and food, and we overdo that. Somebody help me. Okay, so let's look at the words. Y'all, if y'all amen me, I'll think you won't need this, and I'll think I'm just encouraging you, and we'll finish 15 minutes sooner. There we go. He gets the drill. We are opening the doors tonight. Alyssa, you help me after church, okay? Verse number one, point number one. Look at two words. They come right in front of each other, right in front of and behind. You ready? Warreth and entangleth. Number one, point number one. You ready? Contradiction. Contradiction of terms. If you're warring, you're not entangled. If you're entangled, you're not warring. You can't do both. I'm going to stay on point number one. Very short time. It is a contradiction in terms. If you are entangled in the affairs of this life, whatever they may be, wherever they fit on the spectrum of good, bad, indifferent, if you are entangled in the affairs of this life, you are not warring a good warfare. You're going, Brother Ames, what does that mean? Okay, let's talk about warring a good warfare. That means you got up this morning, you crucified the flesh, you're walking in the Spirit, you came in, I'm ready to worship, I'm not going to wait and get the spillover from somebody else who gets happy or testifies or cries or sings a moving song. No, I came into His house to worship. I'm going to worship God today. Tomorrow I'm going to get up, you may be off, you may not be, but I'm going to worship God tomorrow, I'm going to live for God tomorrow. I'm in a wicked and perverse nation that is all around me, but I'm going to live for Jesus. That is a war. You're not warring if you're entangled, and vice versa, okay? So it's a complete contradiction. No man that warreth entangleth. Look at the next word. I'm going to focus on word number two, and that word is entangleth. Number one is the contradiction. Number one is the contradiction. Number two is the conflict. And the word I want you to focus on, I'm going to stay here a little bit longer, is the word entangleth. Do you want to know what it means? It probably doesn't mean what we first thought it did. You want to think of a giant, you're out in the woods hunting in the fall of the year, and you go between two trees that are about 6 feet apart, and you get wrapped up in the mother of all spider webs. And they just shrink wrap around you. Anybody been there and done that? That's not what this is talking about. You know what entangleth means in your Bible? Interwoven. I'm trying to do the things of God all the while interwoven with the daily duties of this life. And I'm going to get to them, and they're not bad things. I'm going to get to them in just a minute, but they're all interwoven. I'm not focused on one thing. Paul said, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. We're not focused on one thing. We're trying to weave a temporal life with an eternal life. Point three is going to clear a lot of this up, but I want to make sure, I don't want you to miss point two before I get there. Do we have to do temporal things? Absolutely. The gas you put in your car yesterday, if you don't believe that's temporal, go check your gas hand. It don't last very long. But they don't mind taking $60 for a tank, do they? It's temporal. Here today, gone tomorrow comes to mind. Somebody ought to write a song. Country song. I filled my gas tank. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. That's temporal, but you're not going very far without it. The food we're going to partake of in a little while, somebody say amen right there. Is temporal, but you're not going to live very long without it. There are temporal things we have to do. Where is my focus? What do I wake up in the morning thinking about? What do I plan in my downtime? Do I say it? I think I will. Where do I go when I've got 5 minutes? Use that screen time app on your phone to help us all determine how much time we're spending in the screen and how much time we're spending in the book. Now, if you're using the map app to help you navigate Asheville, that is one thing. But let me tell you something. That's not what most people are doing. They're keeping up with everybody else's business. It's killing us. It's killing us. We all know it is. We all know. Lost people know it is. Lost people know it is. So if the lost people are getting it, the saved people should have got it 3 years ago. So are we temporal or are we eternal? The third word that I want you to look at, and this is really the heart of the message, look in the middle of the verse, affairs of this life. And here's what it means. duties, industry, and responsibilities. All three very good things. But here's where the rub comes. They should not be the focus of our life. This is elementary. I'm not saying anything tonight you haven't heard. I am saying something every one of us needs to be reminded of about every 3 weeks. Here's what Jesus said. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. We are Americans, and some our thinking is American. Somebody can stand up and say, God's blessed me this week. Unless we have rethought and retrained our mind to think differently, the first thing that goes through our mind is car, clothes, vacation, promotion at the job. And all of those things are blessings to enjoy, not to control me. Here's the message, church. You're not warring a good warfare if you're entangled in the affairs of this life. And the affairs of this life are not online gambling, are not secret trips to Cherokee for your gambling, are not physical affairs. It is not that. It is the good things in life that every one of us have to do, but when they control us instead of us controlling them. And it's a constant pull. If it can happen to a 50-something-year-old man who's walked with Jesus many, many years, every one of us better stay on guard. And I want to say, let me tell you something. If the devil can just distract somebody who's walked with Jesus that long, all of you teens and early 20s, you better be on your guard. If you're not careful, you'll make decisions in the next 2 to 3 years of your life that will drag around you. You'll drag around like chains the rest of your life if you're not careful. You better be wise. You better get some godly counsel. You better get in that word. Don't be so afraid that you don't take a step. God's not the author of confusion. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But I am telling you to be very wary. Walk circumspectly. Circumference is the measurement all the way around. When you're walking circumspectly, you're doing this. Here's what one preacher said. It was a cat on a fence. And there's two pit bulls on either side. And that cat's walking circumspectly. And you've got more than two pit bulls out to get you. One of my kids the other day, they told us about a situation. And before they finished, I think I interrupted. I'm bad about that. Help me. Pray for me. I said, be careful. She giggled and said, I knew Daddy was going to say, be careful. She said, I wish I had a dollar for every time you've told me to be careful. I said, you know why? She said, yes, sir. I'm supposed to be careful. I said, you might be getting it. Somebody help me. Better men, better women than you and me have been messed up by what I'm preaching about here tonight. The affairs of this life. Not bad things, good things. Taken over. Look at the crown, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Brother Ace, there's no crown in there. Oh, there's something way better than a crown. You know what it is? Pleasing God. There's a weird idea out there today. We're in the flesh. We're going to struggle every day. We'll never please him. We'll always come short. My Bible says I can please God. Do you know who's living inside of you ever since that precious moment you called on God? Do you know who lives inside of you? God. God in the person of the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, helping you do what? Please God. God lives inside of you, helping you live so that you can please God. And here's what I wrote in my notes. I honestly wish I could line all of you up and let you come by here and write. Here's what I wrote in my notes. He chose me, and I did a question mark and an exclamation point, meaning an exclamatory question. He chose me. That's what my Bible says. He chose me. The least I can do is live to please him. We heard a message the other night. That preacher did the best job I've ever heard. And all the preaching I've heard in my lifetime, he did the best job I've ever heard of telling a bunch of young people. He said, he didn't try to call them all to preach. He didn't try to send them all to Zimbabwe. He didn't send them to Africa to eat monkey brains. He said, get up in the morning and make up your mind. I'm going to live to please God. If God doesn't want me to do it, I'm not doing it. If God doesn't want me to watch it, I'm not watching it. If God doesn't want me to wear it, I'm not wearing it. If God don't want me to go there, I'm not going there. He said, just plain and simple, just live to please God. God, does this please you? Does this please you? What does your Bible say? Does this please you? What does the Holy Spirit inside of me say? Does this please you? He said, all of that, quote, big stuff we worry about. I don't know where God was. I don't know if he wants me to go to Africa. The first thing he wants you to do is be faithful to church. He ain't sending you to Africa. That's right. That's right. I've got people upset at me right now from the last 2 months, and they wanted a ministry. And I said, okay, amen. I was sweet. I was sweet, honey. I was precious. I was precious. You'd have been so proud. I said, amen. That's wonderful. Get in the Word. Get a prayer life. Get faithful to church, and God will wear you out. They didn't want to get in their Bible. They didn't want to get a prayer life. They certainly didn't want to get faithful to church, but they wanted a ministry with their name on it. JohnnyBrown.com Ministries. Help me. Y'all know it. Philippians 2, go there. Church, I hope you had a daddy. I hope you had a daddy that was so godly and so fair and so sincere that pleasing him just made you feel warm all over. I hope you had a few teachers like that in school. Y'all know Miss Tuck. Tammy says, she said, I'd kill myself to get Miss Tuck to approve of me. She said, when she looked at me and nodded her head, she said, that was worth $1 million. And she was good. She is fair. She's the right kind of teacher. I hope you knew somebody in your life like that. But if you never did, can I tell you there is a God in heaven who loves you more than you could ever imagine. He wants you to do right. He wants you to do well. He wants you to succeed. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit. That's like having a calculus tutor with you in calculus class going cosine. Tangent. That's all I know. If I'd have stopped then, y'all would have thought I was mathy. But I had to tell you that was all I know. Are y'all? The slope. There's another. The slope and the intercept. If that's what you had with you in math class and the teacher said it's okay, guess what? God gave me the Holy Spirit to walk through this life with me, and God said it's okay. Somebody help me. God said, it's okay. And when I'm faced with a dilemma and I don't know how to handle it, I say, how would you handle it? And the Holy Ghost goes, this is what I'd do. And I go, this is what I'll do. And God goes, right answer. Am I oversimplifying? Am I messing up, preacher? Hallelujah, that blesses me. Here's what I'd do. Here's what I'll do. That's the right answer. Do that way. And then you know what God does? Here's what gracious God does. That was amazing. You did that just like I wanted it done. Forgive me. Don't get offended at me. And he and the Holy Ghost look at each other and go, I'm okay. I'm not being irreverent. Here's what the Bible says the Holy Spirit tells. Thank you, God. Here's what God tells me. Here's what the Holy Spirit tells me to call the Father, Papa. Is there a more endearing word on this planet than Papa? I don't know it. Somebody help me now. If I offended you, just block all that out and pretend I didn't say it. God the Father and God the Holy Ghost are working together, thank you, Lord, to make me like God the Son. It doesn't get any better than that. Brother Breck, am I making sense? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, you there? 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may be of, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. Here's what I want you to get, church. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. What is it natural to do? Somebody tell me. In conjunction with that verse, what is it most natural to do? Care for your own state. We're all about me. We're all about me. We have to fight. Every one of us has to fight it. If you're married, you have to fight it. Selfishness. Okay, I don't know why it got so quiet right then. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him. Who? Timothy. You know the proof of Timothy, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Who's he sending to care for those Philippians? Timothy. Is Timothy entangled with the affairs of this life? No. And Paul is able to send him there to care for their needs, because Timothy's not worried about his own. He's more concerned about somebody else. So that's your one option. That's your one option. 2 Timothy 4, and I'm through. 2 Timothy 4. Verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved. Would you let me stick a synonym in there? Entangled himself with this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Listen to me, church. Every one of us expects Jesus to come in our lifetime. That is born in the heart of a believer. So who did a devotion a week or two ago and said, Paul said, we which are alive and remain. Paul assumed Jesus was coming back in his lifetime. We which are alive and remain. I don't know. It could be tomorrow. Wiser men than I am say there's not one bit of prophecy left to be fulfilled before Jesus returns in the rapture. It could be. They've also been telling me that for many, many years. Does that make me doubt it anymore? No. They died believing it, and I'm going to die believing it. It's the hope. It's the blessed hope. But here's what I want you to say. Whether you've got a day or 50 years left or many more for you young people, you're going to have to be on guard every day of your life to not be ensnared with the affairs of this life. I don't remember if it was my wife or someone that she listens to who helped her spiritually in this area when our children were little. You moms, I salute you. A preacher, honestly, for the life of me, it's been so many years, I don't remember if it's a conversation we had or we heard it from somebody and it just helped her. But the preacher came home to his wife and he said, wow, looks like maybe a rough day. He was gentle, he was sweet, he wasn't ugly. Nothing was done. There's laundry, there's dishes, there's all that. She'd been in a spiritual valley. And he said, are you okay? She said, honey, the laundry's not done and the dishes aren't washed and the kids have probably been cleaner in their day. She said, but I got alone with Jesus today and he met with me in my prayer closet. And he said, hallelujah, I'm not too worried about laundry and dishes and kids who need a bath. He said, I want a wife who's walking with Jesus. Okay? And nobody in here thinks I'm advocating let your house go to pot and let your kids stink. Nobody thinks that. But I'm just saying, walking with Jesus is my priority. And duties, when I get that in order, those other things will fall into place. You young people, listen to me. If it helps anybody else, I'll give the Lord the glory. Your life is like a big old chain up here, just a pile, a mess. And you're like, I got to get my life straightened out. If you're married, I got to work on my marriage. And you get that straightened out, and your job's a mess. Your walk with Jesus is a mess. But boy, you and your husband, y'all communicating better than ever before. Like, this ain't working. We got to get our finances in order. We got our marriage back in order, but it cost us $3,000, and now we owe a credit card bill. So we're going to start working on our finances. And we get that straightened out. And what happens to that marriage? You both took on an extra job to pay that debt, and your communication's in the hole again. You follow me? So here's what every one of us needs to do. The first link on my chain, the first link on your chain, is my relationship with God. Grab that link, Daniel, start walking with Jesus. What happens to my chain, Micah, when I start walking with Jesus? My finances, my marriage, my job, my church attendance. Some of you are worried about every little part of your chain, and you mess up something else. Walk with God and let Him straighten out the rest of those areas in your life.